Thank you for listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. If you're looking for a better pre-owned buying experience, Lakewood Chev has certified pre-owned vehicles that are fully inspected, warrantied by General Motors, and have a 30-day exchange privilege. It's Lakewood Chev. Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com joins us. He has had quite the weekend of film work, as he has a massive undertaking. He's doing a whole breakdown of all the goaltending matchups and basically every goal that a goalie has allowed this year, what's good, what's bad about it. And so, of course, Kevin, let's start with the Oilers and the San Jose Sharks. And hey, these are good goalies, but every goalie has a tendency and every goalie has maybe a little bit of a weakness. So I know you've talked about this before with different goalies. So with Martin Jones, is he more vulnerable going left to right or right to left?
Yeah, you know, you're right. Every goalie has a side they move better to. And for Martin Jones, he moves better to his glove. So right to left. When Jones moves left to right to his blocker side, for him, that's where he has a tendency to get a little flat with his pushes. And by flat, I mean, instead of rotating into angle back towards the post when he moves in that direction, he has a tendency to go straight across the crease. So flat as in parallel to the goal line. And of course, if you move flat and there's a one-timer on your right side, you're not square to that shot. That's when pucks tend to go through you. So yeah, when we take a look at this, you're trying to match sort of what you see with your eyes in terms of biomechanics and technique and some of those elements to what you see in the scoring charting. Now, I had to be honest with you, it's not perfect. It produces some nice graphs that we'll have up at NHL.com for, like you said, all the goals and all the goalies that are in the playoffs. But it's more about watching for those tendencies while you're charting those goals and sort of seeing if those numbers match up. And, you know, Jones, last year I did his entire season. This year I did his entire season. All his playoffs last year. And there's no question that was one of the tendencies. He gets back sort of towards the post, better and on angle when he's moving to his glove than when he is moving to his blocker. So how do you exploit that? With one-time options on that side, knowing that if you get an open look on that side or you're cutting laterally across a crease to that side, rather than you can try and draw him out. The times last year in the playoffs where he tended to end up over-aggressive or further out and out of position, chasing the play, as we say, it was almost always to the blocker side. And that's a function, again, of coming across flat, you're off angle, and you tend to over-pursue to make it up. So, you know, I don't know how much you build game plans around it per se. I think teams are different. But when you get into power play situations and you're looking to sort of, you know, maybe outline a play or two or look for some tendencies that, you know, when you have an advantage, you can game plan for some of those types of things. Certainly making him move to the blocker side, I wouldn't say that it's a weakness, but if I had a choice between making a move left and making a move right, it'd be to the right every time.
Kevin, what other potential areas could the Oilers exploit that you uncovered in all this film work?
Well, I mean, he has a tendency to listen. Jones is a really good goalie, and I know he struggled in the last couple of weeks, including some games against the Oilers. Although, you know, looking specifically at a couple of those games, there's just some tough bounces. He is a goaltender that makes you beat him around the edges of the net. He's a pretty technically efficient guy, and he kind of takes up the middle of the net, has decent hands, but you're going to have to make good shots to beat him. What you look for is trends in different layers of scoring chances. We chart things like one-timers, whether the play is a lateral pass above or below the top of the dots. If it's below the dots and crosses the middle of the ice, we call that the slot line, and that means a goalie has to turn completely from one side to the other. So you look for tendencies in those layers, and one of the ones that we see when you match rebounds is quite often it's on screen. Doesn't give up a lot of bad rebounds or rebound goals off of clean looks, which tells you he controls them, and that kind of matches what you see with the eye. But when you add a screen element, because he's a guy who likes to look over and around and above guys in front of him when he's tracking screens, and because his drop to the ice is more of sort of he pulls back with the shoulders and pushes with the knees and kind of ends up straight up and down rather than sort of arched forward, there's a little bit of a delay there in getting a seal and getting on the ice. So we do see some pucks go in along the ice through screens. So in other words, you're not always trying to pick a corner through a screen on him. There is some benefit to getting it through traffic along the ice. That can vary from goaltender to goaltender, but it works with him a little bit more than others. And rebounds created by those chances have led to goals, I think in part because the San Jose D has a tendency, and we saw Lucic take advantage of this just recently in the last couple of weeks against San Jose, where they're spread out a little bit in between in front of them, and there can be opportunities between them to not only create screens, but if you've got those low shots and hey, they don't beat them, there should be second chance opportunities off of them and an opportunity to kind of take advantage of those second chances right in front of him.
Kevin Woodley joins us. Now, Kevin, what about Cam Talbot for the San Jose Sharks? I know you are looking specifically at five hole.
Yeah, just because they're, look, it wasn't, again, not so much that I was looking specifically, but you start charting the goals and you start to, it feels like you're charting a lot of them, and you add it up at the end of the day, and there were 26 of them that went through between the legs. Now, listen, Henrik Lundqvist had 24, and I think he's around 140 goals, sorry, top of my head. So a higher percentage than Talbot with 26 five-hole goals out of 172 overall, but still one of the bigger numbers I've seen. So, you start to look for trends. And one of them is sort of post-playing around the net. And you hear announcers talk a lot about it. When guys get beat on bad angles and on jam plays or beat high off plays from just above the goal line, we always hear announcers say, oh, I don't know why he was down so early. The reality of net play and post-integration is it's such a massive part of the game because so much – it's hard to deal with those types of sharp angle plays, and that's why we come up with different ways to approach them. When you look at his, it's pretty good, but he does tend to go with his pad inside his post to get a seal as opposed to going skate on post. In other words, he prioritized that post seal rather than mobility off the post. So there is a slight delay with that pad inside the post to then getting up and getting out to the top of the crease or making a lateral push. And one of the trends we see in the five-hole goals is a lot of low-high plays. In other words, quick pass-outs from dead angles below the net or around the goal line up until the slot. There were 36 goals against Cam Talbot this year scored that way. And listen, part of that's on the D. A lot of them were one-timers and open looks from the slot. And when you think about the way the Sharks pass the puck, the way they move the puck from below the goal line and attack that way, that's something the Oilers' defense is going to have to sort out better in the playoffs than they did over the course of the season. The good news is if you're an Oilers fan is a large percentage of those, and I just sort my graphs here by date, but anecdotally as I was charting them, there were certainly a lot more early in the season. This was a problem that was more prevalent early in the season and probably because they sorted out some of that coverage as the year went on. You saw those low-high plays create fewer goals on Talbot later in the year than they did earlier. So that's encouraging. But again, if you look at the way the Sharks attack and you look at that as an area that other teams were able to exploit on him, defensively, if you're the Oilers, you're going to have to be pretty cognizant of that.
Now, you mentioned it's hard to game plan these type of things, but players, you look at it and we see so much studying done at the goalie position, Kevin, that you would hope teams look for all these different type of ways to possibly, go after a goalie. Like, the low-high plays from the goal line, right, against Talbot. Now, it's not just necessarily him. It's also maybe the defensive coverage. Did you, you played into that, was it defensive coverage with the goalie, because those low high plays from below the goal line was an area where the Oilers did get beat on.
Right. No question. And like I said, like a lot of that, like this was not all on Cam Talbot. Are there things in the way he plays his post? Like I said, prioritizing his post seal, maybe a little bit more than his mobility off of the post. Like there's always that balance, right? Like for him, he seems to prioritize post seal. That's why when he goes into the post, he goes with that lead pad inside. So he's got that taken care of. He's not getting beat on a quick wrap or jam very often. He's got that seal done. But he doesn't have his skate on the post. So it takes it, there's a little extra movement to get up and off it. So that's part of how he plays. But certainly a majority of those low-high plays, I think you could point to the defense breaking down in front of him, guys losing their man behind them in the slot as the puck moved below the goal line. And like I said, the good news is, it was a problem, especially early in the season and not late. But, yeah, there's no question that this is defense-oriented as well. When you do these breakdowns, you can identify these trends, but they're sort of – you have to take what's given. And both teams are kind of looking at some of these trends, and they're obviously – if they see a weakness, they're going to – like the Oilers probably have with that being a problem early in the season. try and take it away and recognize this thing and solve it themselves defensively. So as far as teams using it, listen, Jason, that I've heard all kinds of variations. There are some teams that don't do much of this at all. I've actually had some goalie coaches say they know that there was more detail in some of the stuff we've laid out at NHL.com than what their head goalies tell me, than what their team is presented with about the other guy. But increasingly, with more and more sort of modern young goalie coaches in the game, this is a big part of the job. And I know the Oilers do this. I know they mix certainly a better level of analytics and deeper look at shots and save percentage into this than I'm able to, because I can look at goals, because at the end of the day, goals are events that I can chart and track and look for trends within. But the truth is, you know, Cam Talbot giving up, I got the wrong chart open in front of me. I apologize, Jason. But if I look at, say, high glove, so Cam Talbot gave up 31 over the high glove this season. Yeah, could that be a trend? Do you look at some tendencies? Does he get flat off the rush off the far side when plays are coming down the left wing and that gives him far side exposure? Maybe. But the only way to really know is to have save percentage in those shots. And, you know, I can't chart all, you know, let's just say it took me 7.5 hours to get through the 170 goals that Talbot gave up. Imagine trying to go through a whole season of stats. NHL teams have that. So for them, when they break down a tendency like five-hole or high glove, the good ones, including the Oilers, they'll have that right down as to percentages and save percentages on each area, and also charts around the ice where they give up goals. You know, you can look at it. You know, we talked about Martin Jones and you know, his blocker side versus his glove side. Well, I pull up my charting on goals, and sure enough, you know, 4.7% beyond the face-off dot, kind of off bad angles on his blocker side, and only 2.7% of the goals sort of outside the home plate area on his glove side. So those are the kind of numbers that support what we see. The good NHL teams take it even further, and then they present them in simple ways that offensive players can choose to do what they want with them. And I've talked to scorers over the years that want all this information. They want to know, coming down the wing, is there going to be an opportunity far side high because he gives up angle with the way he backs up to his post. Other guys, they don't want to know. Too much information, too much thinking. For them, it's just a matter of seeing what they see and reacting accordingly. I'd like to think as the game evolves, more of them are looking for more information so that they don't have to think about what they see. So the instinct coming into a certain play is to attack a certain area, and they can trust the scouting report. And as goalie coaches have told me over the years, it's always sort of a positive for them when they present something in a scouting report and you get through a playoff series and 4 or 5 goals have gone in as a result of that. And it does happen. But there's certainly a mix out there. I think the Oilers are a team that probably does more of what I've just talked about than the San Jose Sharks do. That's for sure.
Kevin, great stuff as always. And we're going to catch up with you later this week. Anytime there's anything on goalies, we're going to have you on, but we'll probably preview a few other ones before the start of the opening round on Wednesday and Thursday. Thanks as always, man.
Yeah, no problem. My pleasure. We'll get into some of the other goalies on a little quick hit basis before these things start.
Yeah, well, we definitely want to do Lundqvist and Price for sure. So we'll get into that one. That'll be, I think that's a massive star appeal goaltending matchup, Braden Holtby and others. We appreciate it. Great stuff.